Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
From KQED in San Francisco, I'm Alexis Madrigal. The Museum of the African Diaspora has reopened with new exhibitions from Ghanaian artist Amwako Boafo, who won Art World publication called The Art Market's Biggest Star, and Billy Zangewa, a Malawi-born, Johannesburg-based artist whose intimate silk portraits reveal everyday acts of daily feminism. We'll talk with the curators who brought them to the museum, and then we'll talk about and hear some of the fascinating new McSweeney's issue, their audio issue, which plays with the concept of translation and transformation between mediums and sensory capacities. That's coming up next after this news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Alexis Madrigal. Last week, the Museum of the African Diaspora reopened its doors in downtown San Francisco after a long and difficult pandemic closure. Like many museums, it had to pivot to virtual programming and digital exhibitions. Perhaps that's why two of the museum's reopening artists both feature texture so prominently, paintings with bold, finger-painted marks and inventive silk collages. And I want to welcome first Elena Gross, the Director of Exhibitions and Curatorial Affairs for MOAD. Tell me about the reopening, Elena. It's got to be exciting to be back in three dimensions and with people in the galleries.
Yeah, it's been incredibly surreal these last few days and last week after, 18 months of closure and not seeing work on the walls or people in the space. It's been really, there's been a huge uptick in energy, I think, in the building and in the museum. And it's been very exciting to be able to share these shows with everyone.
Yeah. How did the museum weather the pandemic storm? Like, did you get grants from outside when you didn't have visitors?
Yeah. So we shifted, as you mentioned, we shifted pretty early on to online programming. And so that was kind of the public facing element of the museum was, all of our virtual programs, but then behind the scenes, the staff worked really diligently to fundraise. I think we spent a lot of the last year working on grants through IMLS Cares, a lot of federal grants, PPP loans, other foundations, and just it was really a tag team effort to try and maintain and keep things going. Yeah. With all this uncertainty.
I mean, what did you learn about what MOAD could be? If it didn't have that physical space, you had to work in the digital. What'd you learn about what it could be in there?
I learned that people love us and that people want to be a part of what we're doing.
A good feeling.
And people will show up. Yeah, people will show up even with the doors closed. Time and time again, we saw people from all over the Bay, all over the states, all over the world, attending all of our programs and coming through for the museum. And it's a really heartening feeling, and it makes what you're doing feel meaningful in a really special way.
Yeah. So tell me about the opening slate, the exhibitions you chose to reopen the doors. This is what we want you to know about MOAD.
Yeah, so obviously a lot of things shifted because of the pandemic. The schedule wasn't quite this schedule when we first devised it. But I think over time, seeing these two artists and seeing the work that they do and kind of the seeing them as being at this great precipice on the world stage, it just made a lot of sense to put these shows together. And I think over the last week with the reopening, I think we've seen so many tethers between the shows and so many conversations that have kind of erupted from placing all of these artists and curators kind of in conversation with one another.
Yeah. Let's do that here. Let's introduce your guest curators. We have Larry Osei-Mensah, who is the curator of the Boafo exhibition. And we also have Dexter Wimberly, curator of the Billy Zangewa Thread for a Web Begun exhibition. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Larry, let's start with you. Obviously, Amwako Boafo is an incredibly hot artist in the world right now. But what drew you to his work?
I think we were introduced by a mutual friend, and we had been in conversation for the last 3-4 years. And so I had the benefit of kind of watching, you know, this phase of his career from the Genesis and watching it evolve. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the intimacy with which he approaches his practice with the finger works in terms of how he renders skin and hair, his use of color. And I think, honestly, there was a vulnerability that I just wasn't seeing with other artists in terms mm-hmm. of how he was committed in articulating Black subjectivity, Black joy, and celebrating Blackness, quite frankly. And so for me, I was on a journey to kind of better understand him, his practice, and looking for forums to share that with a larger audience from an institutional standpoint, because as you hinted to, a lot of the conversation around his work has really kind of been focused on the market. Mm-hmm. You know, clearly he's doing well, but I mean, there's a reason why it's doing well. And then also just affording, you know, a captive audience an opportunity to see work from 2018 to 2021, and see the range and see how the practice has evolved over the last 3-4 years, I think has been an exciting opportunity. And I'm grateful to Elena and Manetta and the team at MOAD. And it's been a great response just to kind of see artists, you know, art enthusiasts just kind of be wowed by the experience. And that's really the conversation that we wanted to catalyze for the show.
Yeah. His work is so striking. I mean, one of the great stories I read about him is that he had his Instagram where he's posting his paintings, and then Kehinde Wiley sees it, buys the work from his Instagram, and introduces him to his art dealers. I mean, just one of those people that the work is that striking. Do you remember the first?
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to ask you if you remember the first painting of his that you saw, and if you could just describe it for people and how it made you feel.
The first painting I saw was a self-portrait that he made. He did these series of self-portraits that were really in response to feedback that he was getting from his professors about his work. And he talks about, you know, getting criticism of it being too Black, you know. Mm-hmm. And so in response to that, I think he kind of dug in a little bit more, but using himself as, you know, kind of the primary subject, which I think is very important to point out, you know, because I think he invites us to kind of do this self-reflection. And I think doing these series of portraits, you know, some of them he's kind of, you know, nude, which is kind of interesting, like these kind of male nude portraits, but just really kind of dealing with self, I think was an inflection point for him. And then I think it gave him the tools and the capacity to then shift to creating portraits and images of other people, whether they be friends, whether they're people he admires. And just to piggyback your other point, I was introduced to Amwaka's work by Kehinde as well. And so, you know, Kehinde is a good friend. And, you know, he saw something and what he was doing. And there's just an energy and a vibration that I think many of us look for in a painting. And he's been able to encapsulate it beautifully. And, you know, I'm excited to see how it continues to grow and evolve, because I think this is one stop in the journey.
So let's bring Dexter Wimberly. Let's talk about this Billy Zungewa exhibition. And maybe you can, the technique here that Zungewa uses is really beautiful. And I thought maybe you could just sort of describe how these collages are put together.
Sure. So, you know, it's one of those things where you could always say, you know, you gotta see it to believe it. but, you know, Billy uses silk to create her work, which is often described as tapestries. Some people call them silk collages. I like to think of them as silk paintings, even though I'm sure I could be challenged on whether or not you could call something a painting that doesn't involve paint. but nonetheless, it's a method that includes, you know, sewing and stitching pieces of fabric together to create these scenes that often depict the artist herself. She is, you know, really an artist who uses her own personal life and experience as a conduit to her artwork. In many ways, there's very little separation between who Billy is as a person and the work that you see in a gallery or museum when you when you're looking at her work. This is an artist who has sort of like fully embraced that the idea that being a woman, being fairly recently a mother, all these things, and being an artist, all these things are combined into one life experience.
How do you relate these? I think calling them silk paintings makes a lot of sense. Like for listeners, that's really what it looks like, is these amazing paintings. But instead of oil, it's silk patches. How do you relate that to this sort of broader discourse of kind of craft work and quilting and sort of the actual kind of remarkable potential in that, things that had previously been considered kind of like women's realms?
Well, I mean, you know, maybe I've said this before, or maybe I'm saying this for the first time, but so if I'm saying it for the first time, you can sort of like coin this phrase to me. All people are influenced by all things. And so in a way, I don't think that you could look at Billy's work and say that her influences are any different than any other artist in terms of, you know, seeing the world and seeing how things are made, whether those are paintings or sculpture or collage or drawings. And so she's pulling from a rich history of making that I think has influenced thousands of other artists. I mean, as this relates to the term you use, craft, I know for some people that's a dirty word, or they kind of get caught up in semantics about whether something is craft or not. I mean, Billy and I have never really talked about the word craft in the context of her work, and I don't think that in any way you could sort of say that it's completely unrelated to craft, but I think it's more connected to the idea of you know, sort of like always seeing the artist's hand in the work. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why her work resonates with people so much, is that, you know, it doesn't feel manufactured. It feels very, very much like you can see the time and the effort and the energy and the fingerprint of the artist, for lack of a better way to put it. It feels deeply personal, both in a literal and figurative way. I mean, as far as it relates to, I think you use the term like, you know, sort of like woman's work or traditional, you know, ideas around that. I mean, that's something that Billy's, you know, interested in and concerned with, this idea of domesticity and the traditional, you know, sort of roles that women are expected to play in the household and beyond. And I think her work, it's kind of an interesting send up on this concept.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. She's kind of toying with it, you know?
Yeah, because, you know, the fact is she was making this kind of work before she became a mother. And so the fact that her son kind of appears in a lot of her more recent work would make some believe that, you know, that has always been the case. But for years, Billy was primarily, you know, putting herself in her work and sometimes other people. But, you know,
cut in real quick. We're talking about the new exhibitions at San Francisco's newly reopened Museum of the African Diaspora, with Larry Osei Mensa, Dexter Wimberly, and Elena Gross. We'll be back with more Forum after the break. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Alexis Madrigal. We're talking about the new exhibitions at San Francisco's newly reopened Museum of the African Diaspora with Larry Osei Mensa, curator of the Amwako Boafo Soul of Black Folks exhibition, and Dexter Wimberly, curator of the Billy Zongewa Thread for a Web Begun exhibition, as well as director of exhibitions and curatorial affairs for MOAD, Elena Gross. You know, before the break, Dexter, we were talking about the ways that Zongewa kind of sends up some of these domestic scenes, as well as just sort of the expectations of women generally. And I wanted you to talk a little bit about the painting Afternoon Delight.
Well, if I'm remembering exactly the work you're referring to, this is the male image. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, Here's the thing about Billy's work that I think it's always important to point out, is that, you know, she's showing you things that have occurred. More often than not, these are, you know, works that are documenting life and sort of the romances and the sometimes mundane daily things that happen. And so I'm careful to not try to speak for the artist, but I can only speak from the standpoint of my experience with the artist. And that work, which I think is a triumphant example of her skill as an artist, also I'm sure has an incredibly rich backstory that I have not been made privy to, which is also fine too. You don't need to know everything.
Exactly. I think, I mean, it's a kind of a wonderful nude, basically a male nude with sort of a bottle of wine in the background. And it's just, it's a very like striking, powerful piece.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, you know, when it comes to nudity, which is something that actually you see in Billy's work pretty frequently, you know, that is as much a part of life as anything else. Yeah. And I think what's always interesting to me is that, you know, even in 2021, you know, with literally thousands of years behind us in terms of art history, nudity can still be a point of contention or an eyebrow raiser. But I think that when Billy incorporates it into her work, it feels real and not gratuitous. And I think that that's why it works. You know, it just really works. It feels natural and it feels real.
Want to invite our listeners into the conversation. Do you have questions for our guests about the artists and exhibitions or about the museum's reopening? Give us a call now, 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. You can get in touch on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum, or you can email your questions to forum@kqed.org. Elena Gross, Director of Exhibitions and Curatorial Affairs for MOAD. I want you to talk about how you think about bringing exhibitions together and what you think it illuminates to have these kind of shows next to each other.
I think we try to approach, or at least I try to think about exhibition programming through the lens, through a wider lens of the diaspora. I think there's a real importance here at MOAD in investing in, obviously through our emerging artists program, investing in local Bay Area based artists. But I think we also wanna make sure that, especially in this new phase of MOAD, that we're expanding our reach and we're looking at all of these other areas where artists of African descent are making and where these art practices are happening all over the globe. So definitely out, as you're seeing kind of with this season of shows, artists from the continent, but then also artists from South America, artists from Europe, artists who are working in Australia, artists who are working in farther reaches of the United States and the Caribbean. We did a show with Dexter and Larry that focused on artists of Caribbean descent. So I think the way we kind of think about it is, how do we bring all of those conversations together into a loose thematic? I don't think they have to necessarily be tied to a hard and fast theme, but how do we bring all of these perspectives together throughout in these conversations together in one place at one time to kind of give you that sense of the expansiveness of artists of African descent and of the diaspora.
Yeah. Larry, I want you to talk a little bit about, if you think 2020 and all the things, at least that happened, you know, in the United States, but protests really across the world, how you feel like that filtered into and was transformed by artists of African descent across the diaspora?
I think it definitely was an inflection point in terms of how artists, I think, got a better grasp and understanding of their power and their platform, particularly amplified by tools like social media, but then also just really kind of being in the streets. And I think last year, you know, I think a lot of people kind of had to kind of think through, what are the tools at my disposal that allow my voice to be heard, allow me to articulate my concerns about issues around systematic discrimination, police violence. And I think also it put a lot of institutions on notice in terms of, you know, if you're an institution that isn't centering or at least incorporating the voices of artists from the African diaspora, then you are out of the loop, so to speak. And I think you saw what I think is the beginning of a reckoning across the board. So whether it was corporate America, whether it was in the arts. And so for me, it's an exciting time as someone who has been committed to collaborating and creating a forum for artists of color for over a decade, and Dexter as well, to see the mainstream kind of come get to speed, get up to speed. Yeah. And so I think now, I think what's important is that artists from the diaspora, that we show the spectrum of artistic practice, right? And I think what a lot of work that's been kind of celebrated and centered has kind of been more this figurative work, portraiture. And so for me, it's important we look at the diversity of strategies that artists use. So whether it's figurative, abstraction, cinema, music, dance, performance, and making sure that a lot of what last year catalyzed becomes a behavior and not a trend, not a response for the moment, but a new way to think and engage and express using art as a platform and a tool.
Yeah. Wanted to welcome in caller Lolly from San Francisco. Welcome to the show, Lolly.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to make a comment about the importance of quilting arts and textile arts, because
absolutely.
I heard your comment about crafts. And I think it's time for the grandma calico patch trope to be put to rest. And I'd like to point out that the Boston Fine Arts Museum just opened an exhibit of 50 important quilts that go back hundreds of years. They include two priceless quilts by Harriet Powers, who was born in 1837 into slavery and is known as the mother of the African-American picture quilt tradition. It also includes a contemporary quilt by Bisa Butler, who is making a big statement in the quilting world as well with her beautiful, beautiful portraits of African-American people. So,
I'm with you, Lolly. I must have miscommunicated. I love quilt art, and we've seen a lot of it, actually, here in the Bay Area at OMCA, the Oakland Museum of California. And I was actually trying to reference exactly that emerging understanding that quilts, exactly as you put it perfectly, that these are art. They're not sort of adjacent to or less than. Thank you so much for that call, Lolly. I really appreciate that.
Can I quickly
piggyback?
Sure.
I think that's kind of what I was getting at in terms of like expanding how we think about artists from the diaspora using various strategies to articulate and express themselves. So I think, you know, with quilting or whatever kind of strategies that may include fabric and fiber kind of coming to the fore, making sure that we're celebrating it, which obviously you're acknowledging, on the level of a painting that's using paint or whatever materials, because, you know, the diaspora has a variety of ways of telling our stories, because I think that's also the other thing that's important to point out, is that Amoako, in addition to Billy, are using their facilities as makers and creators to tell stories, tell Black stories, whether they be personal or stories of folks in their communities or folks that, you know, they feel are really kind of pushing the envelope.
Absolutely. We've been talking about the new exhibitions at San Francisco's newly reopened Museum of the African Diaspora with Dexter Wimberly, curator of the Vili Zangewa Thread for a Web Begun exhibition, Elena Gross, director of exhibitions and curatorial affairs for MOAD, Larry Osei Mensah, curator of the Amoako Boafo Soul of Black Folks exhibition. Thanks for joining us. Stay with us. More Forum after a short break.
Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.